Good morning again. Boy, everybody loves to catch a green light, don't they? Like that Noah, 236 green lights in one night. That sounds like a record to me. That's awesome. You know, I start adjusting my speed the minute I see the light on, you know, what's it, 336? You know, start coming in and watching, and I'm watching from the west to the east because sometimes it seems like I can be right there and some car comes, click, it goes yellow, red, just like that. But that's probably our only red light, green light kind of thing we need to look forward to. I don't even think it was there 10 years ago. But anyway, so this idea of catching green lights and seeing what green lights are and then tying them to the idea of being grateful and understanding how that all works together. I don't know if you're familiar with Matthew McConaughey's book. It was a bestseller for a while, and he talks about green lights, and I'll explain a little bit about that. I've mentioned him before, but he says this. He says, catching green lights is all about skill, intent, content, consideration, endurance, anticipation, resilience, speed, discipline, timing. We can reach more green lights by simply identifying where the red lights are in our lives and then change course to hit fewer of them. And so he talks about this in his book. I'm not endorsing his book. It can get a little raw at times. I would say it's not a PG-13 book. And every once in a while, I read a book that's in popular culture just to see what people are thinking that think differently than me. You know, as I looked at it and as I bought it and read it and all those kinds of things, my prayer is that one day Matthew McConaughey will be one of those celebrities that will definitely have crossed the line of faith if he hasn't done that already. But the unique thing for him is he is living it out like in public. So as he's processing through this, as he's learning all about this, you know, we see it kind of like out front. And some of our stories, we're thankful that they don't get the same publicity as someone like him. So anyway, so he's working through that. And, you know, I'm guessing that you know, 5 or 10 years, he may wish he had expressed some of the things in that book a little differently, but he doesn't, and it's, again, it's just real life talking about his experience. And by the way, McConaughey goes to the same or has gone to the same church as Nick Foles. Whoever's that? Who's Nick Foles, Foles? I thought somebody like that. Yeah, someone deal with the Eagles or something in the past. But anyway, they go to the same church, and it's, you know, it's a non-denominational church in Texas. But anyway, so as we're thinking about this idea of being grateful, and we're thinking about green lights before Thanksgiving, we need to realize that seeing life as one green light after another, even when they are yellow and red, is a sign of gratefulness, or can be a sign of gratefulness. You see, gratefulness is a key to catching and experiencing our green lights in life. And so when we're thinking about this, we see these green lights, and we need to understand what green lights are. And sometimes we're going to find that even a yellow light or a red light, as we look at it, as we digest it, actually has turned into a green light for us. It actually becomes a positive thing. It's actually good that when you're driving up to 96 North, it's good that there is that light there. I think that light went up because of accidents. And it's good that there is a yellow light. It warns you it's about to change. And there is a good that it's good red, because if those didn't turn yellow and red, then you'd be in a world of hurt. So red lights and yellow lights can become green lights as we look at it. That's why James, the half-brother of Jesus, says this. He says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. You will be all that God wants you to be. So when we see a red light, when we see a yellow light, when we're looking for a green light, We want to look at those and understand those, that those can help us become who God wants us to be. And it's not because God just wants us to be a certain way. It's when we are that way, we get to live a fuller life following him in this chapter of life and look forward to the next chapter of life. Now, when we're doing this, we need to realize that gratefulness is key. And for most of us, or a lot of us, sometimes gratefulness seems to be far out of reach. We spend most of life chasing, "I wish I was grateful," than being grateful. It's almost like we're running on empty when it comes to the gasoline of gratefulness. And it reminds me of these two guys. It
looks like we're going to need some gas.
Oh? Well, how much gas do you think is in there right now?
Well, it's on E.
You know, look, oftentimes, Jerry, he lends me his car, and I find myself in a situation where the car is almost out of gas. But for a variety of reasons, I don't want to be the one responsible for purchasing costly gasoline.
Where's it now?
There's still some overlap between the needle and the slash below the E.
How low are you going to go?
Oh, I've been in the slash many times. This is nothing. You get used to it. Just put it out of your mind.
Have you ever been completely below the slash?
Well, I almost did once, and I blacked out.
Is it just the angle I'm looking from?
No, sir. We are down there.
Oh, this is amazing.
Right, I'm satisfied. We better get some gas.
What? Well, we can't stop now.
What do you mean?
We have to keep going all the way back to the dealership. That was the plan.
There was no plan.
Well, let's make it the plan. Let's just go for it, like Thelma and Louise.
They drove to a dealership?
No, they drove off a cliff.
You are one sick mama. I like
it. There's the dealer! Hey! We did it! We pulled it off! I can't believe it! Where's the needle?
Oh, it broke off, baby!
I wonder how much longer we could have lasted.
Yeah, I wonder.
So, do I dare ask who came today with less than a quarter of tank in their gas tank? Oh, somebody over there? All right, okay. Anyone like on the line? All right, who came with like three quarters tank? Who is a full tank guy? Oh, look at you, no bravery out there. Well, when it comes to gratefulness, a lot of times we are running on fumes. And honestly, that just does not bring a joy, not a happiness, that doesn't bring a joy to life when we're running on these kinds of fumes. And we can see that this is just a major, major problem for us, you see, because again, seeing green lights is the fuel for our gratefulness. McConaughey again says this: "I believe everything we do in life is a part of a plan." That's a biblical worldview there. Sometimes the plan goes as intended, and sometimes it doesn't. That's part of the plan. Realizing this is green life in itself. So trying to understand how, again, all that fits together. So I don't know about you, but again, this is Thanksgiving. This is Pilgrim time, and some of us think of the pilgrims, and some of us have been down to Plymouth and seen the rock there, and they had quite a journey getting across the Atlantic Ocean. If you've never seen the rock, here it is. It's a little beat up. It's not that really that big. It's kind of like, wow, that's it? You'd think it would be like huge, but they did build this big thing to stick it in. That's looking to the water. And here's on the other side one time when they must have been, celebrating it. Look at all the people. So that's the Plymouth Rock. But if you realize the folks that the pilgrims, they were grateful. Somehow they saw green lights everywhere. Now, they didn't see literal green lights, but they saw green lights, they saw yellow lights, they saw red lights, but they still were grateful. Often this time of year, I read the little pronouncement, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us squash, an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squash, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and sea, with fish and clams, And as much as he's protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from the pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with ye wives and little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hour of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623. And the third year since we pilgrims landed at ye pilgrim rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings. William Bradford. And by the way, some of you are scholars. Yes, I know that sometimes ye should actually just be the, but it sounds old by saying it that way. So anyway, so, you know, here's a group of people that went through hard times. The voyage was 66 days. And if you see, I mean, that those ships were not pretty big, all right? 66 days. When they got here, December 16th, they had to start building their town. That first winter, many colonists felt ill, all kinds of things. There was no shelter, it was cold, it was wet. Pilgrims were not only starving, their sea diet was so very high in salt that it caused all kinds of other illnesses that first weakness. And as many as two or three people died during the first 2 months on the island. And by the time the first winter had gone through, only 52 settlers, there were other folks there, some of the folks on the ships, had survived the year in Plymouth. Yet, even with that history, 2.5 years later, they are celebrating. They're seeing green lights, not red lights, not yellow lights. And really, they had a different outlook. They had a sense of gratitude. They were a glass half full kind of people. And because of that, they just moved ahead. And, you know, we have to realize that too. But, you know, what's interesting, if we go back to the Older Testament and we go back all the way to Numbers 11, 1 through 33, we're not going to read all of that, but page 99 in that rack Bible. And by the way, if you don't have a copy of the Bible, a paper copy, you can take that Bible as a gift. Also look online for the Bible app, which is helpful. But you're going to see another group of people kind of in their own exodus. And they're traveling, and they're trying to get away. And it said that if they had really followed God's lead, it would have taken less than the 66 days that it took the pilgrims to get to the promised land. But they were traveling to the promised land. And yet their response to it is completely different. Completely different. They only saw red lights, and they had a sorry attitude for it, whereas the pilgrims didn't look at life that way. First verse says, now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger aroused. It's kind of a little comical, that verse, isn't it? In the hearing of the Lord, he hears everything. He's always aware. He's always around us. Do you realize that when you're complaining, when I'm complaining, it's in the hearing of the Lord? When I verbalize it, he hears it. When I internalize it, he hears it. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't be honest with God. It really comes down to the attitude that we see. Pilgrims, they make it, but we don't really see this kind of just complaining. And God was not happy with it. Does God have a right to not be happy with it? I think so. He was providing a way for them. He was providing a way to the promised land. He was providing a way for them to be all that they could be. And God has done the same for us. No matter who you are, no matter your age or stage, no matter your background, God is offering you a journey to the promised land. The promised land won't be realized in this chapter of life, but it will definitely, absolutely be realized in the next chapter of life. And so as we're traveling and making our way to the promised land, what is the overall temperature of our gratitude in our heart and the way we express it to others? Do we lift others up and point to God? And again, I'm not talking about playing. When something bad happens, it's not you put a happy face on. There are plenty of passages that talk about, I cry with a hand fist towards heaven because I'm in anguish. Not talking about ignoring that. But are we by bent a complaining people or a grateful people? Because when we're grateful, not fake grateful, but when we're grateful, it changes everything. It changes our heart, and it also brings others to see who Christ really is. The riffraff among the people had a craving, and soon they had the people of Israel whining, why can't we have meat? We ate fish in Egypt. We got it free. They didn't really get it free, did they? They were slaves. The only reason they got food was so they could do the work the next day. And I'm sure the masters only gave them enough food so they could do the job the next day. So there's nothing free. It's free to say nothing of the cucumbers and melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. You know, we had a grape back then. Sisters, you don't see the pilgrims saying, let's go back to Holland. Let's go back to England. Let's do that. They don't do that. And it's, in some ways, they're experiencing lots of green lights in the new world as they unpack it and figure out what that means for them. Not a little just attitude, but nothing tastes good out here. All we get is manna, manna, manna. Manna is that substance that they would find in the morning. It was like a bread-like substance. Manna actually means, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. But they'd eat it and cook it. They were only supposed to gather, it every day to show God providing for them every day. And then before the Sabbath, they were supposed to grab enough for Sabbath so they could rest and follow God's lead. Even that, if you read the story, they started to mess it up. So really, when they're rejecting their manna, when they're saying all we get is manna, is really they're rejecting the taste of God. When I'm not satisfied with life and the way God's working in my life, I'm not satisfied with the manna he is providing for me. And it doesn't mean we get it right all the time, but I want to course correct as quickly as possible. I don't want to live in a place where I'm saying, manna, 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 that's all we get. I don't want to live there. It's contempt for a holy God that does have a plan for our lives. Doesn't mean everything's easy. We've talked about that in past sermons when we were talking through the Twister sermon series. Doesn't mean that. Now, it's interesting. Jesus kind of draws on this idea of manna. We see this. This is, I don't believe it is in your notes, but John 6, 32 to 35, we read, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses did give you bread from heaven. My Father did, and now he offers you true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Tonight at the Thanksgiving celebration, we'll celebrate communion. It's remembering Christ giving his life for us, came down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us this bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again. Who believes in me will never be thirsty. He is the answer for our soul. Whatever you long for, whatever you cry out for, Jesus is the answer. And it's nothing else but him. So when you and I live our lives in the United States or wherever we live our lives, and we are not satisfied, this doesn't mean, you know, being the best you can be. It doesn't mean having godly inspired ambition. But when we're not satisfied when we feel like we've hit a glass ceiling and it could be a lot better, we're basically saying, God, you don't satisfy my life. And he does. He will. Just already talking about being grateful. Well, a lot of us are reading this book called, 12 Theological, it sounds, it's better than my what I'm saying. Anyway, somebody going to say it? What? Do you believe? Yes. And then it has 12. Thank you. Thank you. And then, but it covers some of these things, and it covers this idea of, you know, again, we're grateful not because of the stuff, not because of our position, not a place. Those are nice things to be thankful for, but it's really what's in store for us in heaven. What's in store with us? It's God even now. We read this verse. It says, open your mouths and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. And this isn't to pick on you, but it's to remind you, if you've said yes to Christ, you've tasted him. You have him. You have the joys of those who take refuge in. There's nothing that should rock your world down to your knees. In a sense, yes, it gets your attention, but eventually, because you take refuge in him, you have a joy, a substance, a sustenance, a depth that carries you in and through that. So yes, we're going to talk about being grateful for pilgrim, thanksgiving, celebrate things that are happening in our life. But ultimately, if there was none of that, those of us who have said yes to Jesus can be grateful in him alone. He is the answer. He is the substance. All this other stuff is the icing on the cake. And you've heard me talk about this before. When we only eat icing, we get sick. I thought I would only like to eat icing. Go try it. You're going to say, don't say that. Yeah, just let somebody eat as much icing as they want. Eventually, it will not feel good to eat. You need cake with icing. God is the cake. Don't live on icing. Don't live on it. It makes you sick. It makes me sick. Moses heard the people complaining. People from every family were sitting by their tents and complaining. The Lord became very angry, and this made Moses very upset. He asked the Lord, why did you bring this trouble on me? Now he's complaining. I am your servant. What did I do wrong? What did I do to upset you? Why did you give me responsibility over these people? Everybody's complaining. Everybody's seeing red lights. Everybody's stuck. But you see, we've got to realize that sometimes those red lights are actually good for us. Sometimes those yellow lights are actually helpful. We already talked about that, but just watch this little
scene. I thought you'd never ask. See red light? Green light.
Danielson.
Yeah.
What's up with grid 34?
Let's check it out.
Hey.
Oh, oops, did I? That oops. Wow, but it's awesome. Is that not awesome?
Can you change the background?
Yeah.
It's good that those guys aren't controlling the traffic lights in our community, isn't it? It's good that when you get to an intersection, there's a red light when the other traffic has green light. Yellow lights, all of that is good. Likewise, as we look at life and we see the things unfolding in our journeys, we can either be like the people leaving Egypt, or we can be like the pilgrims embracing it and seeing green lights for what they are, seeing yellow lights for what they are, and seeing red lights for what they are. So how do we choose this attitude of gratitude? How do we catch these green lights? It's interesting, again, he gets to travel all around the world. Matthew McConaughey said this. He said, I've seen many tribes in the deserts of North Africa who, with 9 children, no electricity, had more joy, love, honor, and laughter than the majority of the most materially rich people I've ever met. And he travels in circles that you and I do not travel in. Yet he's saying there was something different about that. They had an attitude of gratitude in Africa with nothing, per se, and we have almost everything and don't have that. What in the world is going on when that is the way we are? Some of you have taken trips to third world countries. Actually, these should be called majority world countries, because this is the way the majority of the world lives. And there is a joy there that you may not experience regularly in your home. Why is that? And you and I have Jesus. Our joy should just be just overflowing, because we know who holds our life. We know who holds our eternity. We know what the next chapter of life is. So our grateful, we should just be happy all the time from a joy that comes from within our hearts. And we need to promote that to others and give that to others. Let others see it. You know, and some of these red lights and yellow lights in our lives can actually be good, because they warn us about something. And sometimes there can be a red or yellow light in somebody else's life, and we can come alongside them, encourage them. And I'm going to do a little commercial now. Over the last week and a half, and today's the last day, and this is just to put it out there. No pressure, okay? This is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, speaking to your heart when I present this to you. Is we have been looking for someone to run point to help our community jail just down the street out there. They would like us to come in and do some kind of service Bible study once a week. And we are looking for someone to run point on that. If we don't get someone to run point on it, then we're just going to say it must not be the Lord's will for us to do it. It's as simple as that. So today is really the last day. We're not going to keep pushing it and pushing it. This may not be a thing for us, but we if it is a thing for us, we don't want to miss the opportunity. So this is a place where there's people that are dealing with what look like red lights and green or yellow lights in their life. And who knows, maybe they would find out that the yellow life of being in the county jail for a little bit or a lot, or the red light, could turn out to be a green light, because they could hear about how Jesus could transform their lives. So again, just an opportunity. Think about it. Pray about it. In a few days, I've got to get back to Sheriff Tim Thompson and just say whether we're in or not in. And again, it just is what it is. And I can't do it. I can help out once a month, but not every week. So anyway, just something to think about. So back to this, choose an attitude of gratitude. When we come into places where people are under the weight of a red or a yellow light, we can bring them fresh air that points them to a green light. So catching green lights involves knowing everything good you have comes from God. First of all, sometimes we lose sight of that. Where do we think everything good comes from? A little louder. Work. Us. Our discipline. Our whatever. Our honing our ability. That may be part of it. But the person that has enabled you to produce, to make, is God. In that other book, Do I Believe? Got the title right this time. In that other book, there's this whole idea that you and I do not create. God is the creator. We take the raw materials and build with what he gives us. So it doesn't start with us. But catching green lights involves knowing everything good you have comes from God. And we could add a little line, and is God's. It's on loan to you. Wow. Wow, so just changes the playing field. Changes the playing field. When I look at my stuff, it's God's stuff. He's enabled me to have it, buy it, not build it in my life, but he's enabled me to have it, enabled me to have these things, and then I have to understand that it comes from him, so I celebrate that. I don't celebrate myself. Yes, it's good to do a good job and all that, but it is him that has worked in our life. He gives you your health. He gives you your friends to love. He gives you everything to point to him. Everything good comes from God. James says this, everything good comes from God. Every perfect gift is from him. The good gifts come down from the Father who made all the light in the sky, but God never changes like the shadows from those lights. He is always the same. He's giving you good stuff. Just stop in that moment and thank him for what he's given you. Starts off with the relationships, and then some of us, the resources to do fun things with those relationships. Think of some of the vacations you've had, some of the fun you've had. Some of us are going to gather around the table this week, and we're going to have good food, too much food, and he's enabled all that to happen. Those are all good gifts from him. Good gifts where you're not trying to do Thanksgiving in the Ukraine or in Gaza or some of these other places, in Russia. His good gifts come from him. So we need to realize that God is completely good and will never not be good. It's not a part of his deal. Some of us need to come to terms with that. A couple weeks ago, we talked about these kinds of ideas, but just a reminder, he's not being bad in your life. He's not getting out of line. He's not making mistakes. He's not being cruel in our lives. God is completely good and will never not be good. God is constantly good and could never be less than good. It's not like he's having a bad day and he's only 90% good today. His attitude doesn't get stinky like my attitude sometimes does. He's always constantly good. You can lean in. You can, in a sense, visually sit on his lap and he's there for you. He's not going to pull the chair out from underneath you and laugh at you. There's just none of that. He is always good and never less than good. And sometimes I need to personally be reminded of that. God is unchangeably good, and everything he does is good. He's bringing the world to this moment where his son will return. Many of us got impatient with that. We want him to set things right now. But the longer he waits, the more opportunity is for you to point others to Christ. I have a friend maybe watching. Sometimes he watches. He's in Florida. He knows who he is if you're watching. And I hope someday you say yes to Jesus. And the longer it takes, the more opportunity there might be for you to say yes to Jesus. That's heavily on my heart and in my prayers regularly. So it's good that he waits. You heard me say this before. Our inconvenience of living in a broken, horrific world is worth it if some of the folks that we know and love and some of the folks we don't know who we love from a distance say yes to Christ. This is going to sound terrible for me to say. I hope these boxes get into the hands of children before the Lord comes back. Because I hope they speak to some of those kids. Again, it's all God's plan. He knows. We've heard stories that, believe it or not, something as seemingly insignificant as a shoebox does reach hearts for Christ and families for Christ. So waiting is okay. He's unchangeably good. Consider it sure gift. We read this, friends, when tests and trials come your way or challenges again, green lights, red lights, yellow lights, they're all good because they make you into who God wants you to be so you can be fully you, fully alive, fully impactful for who you are. Catching green lights involves not allowing what you want to rob of what you have. Another word for this is jealousy. Don't let jealousy squeeze out your gratefulness. Because somebody else has something that's a little better than yours, now what you have is substandard. That just robs joy, robs gratefulness. Just like unbelievable, because you remember what somebody else has. or see with somebody. Maybe your car was great until somebody else bought the later model with a new gadget in it, and now it stinks, but before you loved it. Don't let what you want rob you of what you have. I have to admit that last Sunday night I was being robbed of something. I really wasn't happy to see the Buffalo Bills winning. And I remember the good old days when the Patriots used to win all. And I thought that maybe at the end the Chiefs might pull it out, but they didn't. And so I was just disappointed and very sad, and I knew the Patriots were going to lose again. So just to be mean to my dear friend who always mean to me about this, you know, revenge we talk about, I sent my friend this text message. Hey, Kevin, I'm having car problems. This is like the last 5 minutes of the game, 10 minutes. I've tried a couple other people. Can you come give me a hand? Basically need to ride home. Let me know if you can as soon as you can so I know if I should check with someone else. Thanks. I got a call. Hey, Dave. He didn't fall for it, and Kevin is a good man. He didn't say, Dave, I'm in the middle of the game. He didn't say any of that. He said, where are you? Can I come? We're coming to get you. And then I said, you're a better man than me, Kevin. I would have ignored it, but So I was letting what I have, because then I realized Patriots have this. Bills have that. Okay, let's move on. Grateful. So don't let what you have rob you, or what you want rob you of what you have. It is better to be happy with what you have than to always want more and more. Always wanting more and more is useless. It's like trying to catch the wind. And some of us spend a lot of time trying to catch the wind. Don't do that. It's not giving you anything. Enjoy what God has given you. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. It really does. It really does. When you sit down and you have enough, it's just wow. This is good. I have enough. Don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have. Since God assured us, I'll never let you down, never walk off and leave you. I love this. So the real gift isn't what you have, it's Him. When I say I will be happy and satisfied if I have this in my life, this thing, this person, this position, this ability, this feeling, this whatever, I'm saying, God, you are not enough. Christ follower, lean in. God is enough. And if you're kicking the tires, it may seem like over-the-top promise, but I guarantee you, if you lean into God, if you say yes to God, you will find that He is enough. It's not happy people who are grateful, it's grateful people who are happy. It flips around. Flips around. You have the Philippians passage in your notes there. You can read that on your own. Moving along. Catching green lights transforms blessing into praise. Blessing into praise. When I don't turn blessing into praise, they become pride. When I start thinking, wow, look at what I've done. Look at these blessings. This says something about me. This is my identity. I'm cooler than other people because I have this, can do this, whatever. I have this sporting ability that nobody else has. I have this computer ability, this building ability. When I turn a blessing into not into praise, it becomes pride in my life. I think I'm pretty hot stuff. That's not why God gives us blessings. He actually gives us blessings to turn them into gifts to other people, using who we are. We can, yes, enjoy it. We've talked about that. But the idea that we're not just becoming prideful. Saw this happen. We were driving into Boston. We're going down to the Cape. And if you've ever been that way, there's basically only one way. We're going to a concert with a bunch of teens. We're driving this mini diesel bus. They're disgustingly gross. And we're taking this mini diesel bus. And we got to this spot where we were, like, just stopped and stuck at this light. And there was this really nice Mustang next to us. And the guy who was driving the diesel bus is a car guy, so he just was having fun. So he started revving the diesel bus next to this Mustang. And the guy looked over, and he goes, you know, I'm pretty cool. I've got this cool Mustang. And he started doing the same thing. And they're doing it back and forth, waiting for the light to turn green, and going back and forth, and the guy in the cool car, you know, you could just see his head just going, diesel bus. Poor guy behind the diesel bus is getting, you know, diesel fumes. The guy in the car unintentionally popped his clutch, and he ran into the car in front of him. The light turned green, and on the way we went. When I don't turn blessings into praise, they become pride. Have you ever done that? You're looking kind of strutting your stuff, and all of a sudden you trip or something, or walk into a pole. You've seen it happen. Or maybe you don't ever do that. So, I will praise you as long as I live. Praise. I will be satisfied with you as long as I live. Lifting my hands to you, offering myself to you in prayer, just not offering my prayers to you, but offering myself as the answer to maybe a prayer. Maybe you don't need to pray about it anymore, you just need to do it. Offer your hands in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. Do you mentally, are you even there yet? Could you actually say that, or would that just be nice words in a poem? Do you really, God satisfies me more than the best meal, whatever that might be. I will praise you with songs of joy. Songs of joy, just, it comes out of the heart. I remember when the girls were little, I would make up songs and just sing them to them about how much I loved them. They were horrible songs. You're never going to hear one. But it would just generate, because I was just so full of love, they just bubbled up. This may sound funny, because I grew up in the old days with the doxology. I remember the praise God from whom. Sometimes I'm walking around the house and I'm singing that song to myself. Because I don't know how else to lift up and praise God, because I'm so satisfied with him. Sad to say, I don't always stay satisfied with him. That's the bummer, when I don't stay satisfied with him. So, do you feel that your red lights, your green lights, don't have to hamper life? They can produce a gratefulness that is joyful. Oh, my soul, bless God. Don't forget a single blessing. He forgives your sins. Again, this gets into the relational part. Everyone, he heals your diseases. Everyone, he redeems you from hell, saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. God make young in his presence. Do you feel old and useless? Not in God's presence. I don't care. I've met people that are bedridden, old, but they're young in Jesus' presence. Don't miss that. Sometimes I think that's why I had some older folks. Why does the good Lord keep me around? And they're physically, they're miserable, hunched over. I remember this B. Wainwright I used to visit in South Portland. She'd be in her wheelchair, and I'd go in and talk with her. But she was new and young in his presence, because when I would leave her presence, I was filled and reminded of God's presence. Grow old like that if God gifts you the blessing of growing old. God makes everything come out right. The promise of the promised land, the promise of future eternity, heaven. He puts victims back on their feet. So, green lights, catching green lights. Catching green lights will increase the chance you are catching gratefulness. Are you looking at the life and looking at lights and looking at realizing that even some green lights, really, even some red lights, some yellow lights, really are green lights, because they enable you to go from point A to point B in the most safest way? Catch gratefulness. Enjoy gratefulness. Settle in. Wear it like a coat. Just snuggle into gratefulness, and it changes everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We're thankful for creative writers and interesting concepts that can make us think. We want to be thinking Christ followers. We don't want to run from ideas that may not fit with our ideas. We want to size them up and look at them in light of your word and think them through, and not just let people feed us stuff. So help us to be thinking Christ followers. Help us to think through doctrine and theology and just how you work. We're thankful that the things that we elevate that are icing on a cake really don't satisfy. Lord, as we go into this Thanksgiving season, into this holiday season, start a new series next week, would we come with the anticipation that that little baby born in a manger came to satisfy every need of our soul and our heart from the moment we decide to follow him through eternity. We thank you for that gift. And I ask, Lord, if there's anyone who's wrestling with not having trusted in you, that they would speak to a couple of the people praying, might talk to the person that brought them, that at least as they go into this season, they could have that locked down, that they could be grateful not for all your good things that have shown up in life, but for the ultimate goodness of your Son. We ask this in your name.